I'm speaking today with Jamal Smith, who is running for District 137 in Harris County, the seat that is currently occupied by Representative Scott Hochberg, who's not running for re-election. Jamal, why are you running for this seat?
First and foremost, I've always had a passion for public service, and it's always been a lifelong dream of mine to seek office. But the real reason I'm running for this office is the retirement of Representative Hochberg. As a resident of the district, I essentially wanted to make sure that there were candidates in this race that were progressive Democrats that had the same passion for public finance and public education that he had. And I may not be able to match his expertise right now, but I can match his passion for finding solutions to our public education system and our state budget problems.
Okay. I think I met you, and I'm sure a lot of other people know you through the work you've done with the Harris County Democratic Party, in particular with the 2008 coordinated campaign. Talk to me about what you did with the HCDP while you were there.
In a word, I think I was Bill Kelly's caddy. The 2008 coordinated campaign was the result of about 15 months worth of work from Chairman Bernberg and a lot of other players like Dave Mattison and John Eddie Williams, and elected officials like Representative Garnett Coleman, who took a leadership position and looked at the 2006 election numbers and said, we can win if we get organized and we get the best talent available to run this election. They recruited candidates. They worked on financing us better, being Democrats better, and organized better. I had the pleasure of serving as the deputy campaign manager under Bill Kelly, and it was a really exciting time for us all.
What were some of the things you did?
My staff knew me as the fixer, so I generally fixed a lot of problems, but I was the liaison to all the elected officials. I also managed the day-to-day operations of the, our busiest office, which was our Midtown office. I really dispersed the budget, and I was the go-between the field program. Functionally, I was the field director, and the go-between the communications plan that was done not through the party, which there's been a lot of discussion about that recently, but not through the party, and the field operation that was done 100% through the Democratic Party.
You also have some background as a legislative staffer. Talk to me about that.
Yes, most folks know me from my time at the party, as you said, but I actually spent more time, 6 years, working for the late state representative Joe Moreno. I started as an unpaid intern and worked my way up to district director. From district director, I went to the 2003-2005 session with him and worked as legislative director. So I have practical experience researching bills, meeting with vested parties, passing bills, being in committee sessions, knowing the tweaks that it takes to get those out of committee, on the floor, and passed in a session where 2005, where we voted against the speaker, and meaning Representative Moreno. Yet we still got some legislation passed. That's probably my proudest accomplishment in politics.
And what would your top priorities be as state representative?
To provide great constituent services would be a top priority, but also this is an important time. This is a very important election. We have such problems with our state budget and putting our true priorities first. I'm a progressive, proud Democrat, and my values and what my priorities are would reflect that, being public education, women's health, and Medicaid, our traditional values, labor, not only fighting for them and casting votes for them, but fighting every day to improve the relationship with labor, to turn out the Democratic vote in the district, and to turn out voting overall.
Now, I mean, obviously, as you say, and we have big issues with the budget. $5+ billion was cut from public education in the last session. Obviously, every Democrat wants to be able to restore funding for public education. What options do you see to try and do that? And do you realistically see you know, possibilities for finding new revenue for public education.
Well, I do, but I think you have to, like you said, you have to be realistic about it. So I take an approach of what can we do short term in the next legislative session to ease the burden on local school systems, HISD, for example, across the state, and what we can do long term. There's no question long term that we need to look at some real practical solutions. We need to look at our tax system. We need to cut out some of the early filer tax benefits to corporate companies. We need to look at the margin tax. We may need to scrub the whole tax code. But again, those are long-term solutions. Short-term, I think the first thing you do, and as a freshman legislator, I know that whoever replaces Representative Hochberg is going from the 15th ranked legislator in the Texas House to 150. So you have to keep that in perspective. But what you can do through hard work, through experience, practical experience, is refile House Bill 233 that Representative Hochberg filed last session. And what that does is take a little bit of the burden off school systems, teachers, principals on the state tax, the state test, I'm sorry, STAR test. What it allows is our children, if you grade out in third grade, you have a 95% chance to pass in fourth and fifth grade on your reading and math. So what that allows is teachers to spend more time educating the children that are having problems passing. It also gives them the flexibility in their teaching strategy to engage kids that need help on a different level. One of the saddest things that I've learned about our Texas education system is I was called on to babysit recently my goddaughter who lives in San Antonio. She was home for 2 weeks. It wasn't spring break. She was not sick. It wasn't any vacation. She had the audacity to pass her STAR test on the first go-around. She passed with 90 percentile. 85% of her class could not pass. So the next 3 days, the teacher spent teaching the class to take the test again. Well, when only 5% more passed, they didn't have anything for her to do. They sent her home and they let her parents know, we'll call for her when she can come. How is that helpful for her education? I think Republicans have failed the Republican leadership by putting ideology as a philosophy driving education instead of practical knowledge and experience. And I will always fight against that.
Do you think there is an overemphasis on standardized testing?
I certainly do. I don't think there's one right answer as far as approaching education. But I do think there's, in their rush to push accountability, which I certainly support, I think we all do in school systems, there's an overemphasis on standardized testing, and it's hurting our school children, in my opinion.
Okay. You mentioned the women's health program. You know, just kind of give me your view of what's going on with that. What, you know, I mean, you know the whole saga. Talk to me about it.
Well, I think voters in House District 137 and Democrats all over the state, we have to not only have legislators and candidates that will fight for women's health programs, but also will fight, I don't want to call it a culture war, but will fight the messaging on women's health and proudly stand by Planned Parenthood because they are providing much needed health services to women. There's a women's health program facility in House District 137. And you know the numbers as far as the cuts that the Republicans have failed to do and the spin that they're trying to do. I think we need to make sure that we don't have Democrats that'll change parties in a couple of years, but that will message support traditional Democratic values. And I certainly think a woman's right to choose what to do with her body and a woman's health are her decision, and we should all support those things. And when we're talking about those conversations, we should not be afraid of the rhetoric and stand up for our principles?
You know, as someone who was essentially a field director, you probably spent time, you know, helping get people register to vote and answering questions about what they need to do to be able to vote. So, you know, what's your view on the effect the voter ID law would have if it is allowed to take place?
It's going to be detrimental if it's allowed to take place. And the problem, again, for me is I think we lose the messaging war sometimes. It's always talking about the voter fraud. Oh, we have to prevent voter fraud. That's not realistic. There are no cases of in-person voter fraud, or very few, over the last decade in Texas. What this is the Republican Party opportunity to suppress minority vote. I just think that's what it is. If you want to increase the vote and if you want to increase voting security, there are studies that show practical ways to do it. Senator Ellis has filed a bill the last several sessions, and I had the honor of being a policy advisor, serving as a policy advisor for Senator Ellis just recently, that would allow same-day voter registration. In doing so, though, you could get more updated information and provide photo IDs to voters at the polling location. I won't expand on that because I feel like this, I'm dragging on a little, but very simply, the more people vote, the more people participate in elections, the more updated information you have. So if the idea was to really increase the vote and increase the security, the integrity of our voting system, we would be going in a very different direction than voter ID is going.
Okay. District 137, you know, changed during the redistricting process. It was temporary. It was for a while not there under the map the legislators drew. How has the district changed from where it was while Representative Hochberg was in office from the last election to where it is now? And as there is still litigation going on to possibly bring about further changes to the legislative districts, what, if anything, would you like to see done to the way this district was drawn?
To address the first part of your question, what was changed? Precinct 572 was added. It's the only precinct in the district that is north of Westheimer. I know the precinct chair there pretty good. Former Democratic Party chair Jerry Bernberg is the precinct chair. Aside from that, I don't think that precinct particularly flows with the district as far as communities of interest. There isn't a lot. There's not an extreme change away from the district that Representative Hochberg is currently serving. I think it makes the district a little more democratic by the numbers. It makes it a little more diverse. It increases the number of African Americans. It increases the number of Latino voters in the district. It increases the number of Asian voters taken in with the district. But I did think, and this is the only part of the map that I'm actually happy with, is they did a decent job of keeping communities of interest in the district together.
Okay. Is there any legislation that you would envision pursuing that would be specific to District 137?
Well, I think any generic answer, I think any legislation that you pursue is going to affect all Texans if it's good legislation. But there are several projects that I plan on pursuing. District 137 is a very diverse district. We call it the Ellis Island of Harris County. It has over 41 languages spoken in the district. If you've ever been up and down Harwin Boulevard, it's a mixture of businesses, cultures, and great people. And I say that to say, there's a couple of tweaks that we can make to make it easier for historically underrepresented businesses to get government contracts. So one of my big issues for the district is economic growth and development. I think the things that our new elected council member from District Jay is doing are very exciting, and I'd like to help with those projects. I think one of the ways that you start with that, and it's a very simple and practical thing to do, is make it easier for minority business owners to file and get those government state contracts. It increases competition, which helps the district. It also increases competition, which helps efficiency for state contracts. So that's a district specific thing that I would file. There are also about four bills that are district specific that I don't want to take credit, but I would refile, that Representative Hochberg has pending, that died on the vine last session. But again, that's his legislation, so I wouldn't want to take credit for filing those.
Okay. And, you know, as you know, on the primary on May 29th, there are three other people also running for District 137, the Democratic nomination. When people go to vote, why should they vote to make you the nominee to replace Representative Hochberg in District 137 and not one of your opponents?
Well, I'd just like to say I like all of my opponents. I respect them. I think they're all wonderful people. And I was probably searching for them in a previous election year to run for different races. However, what I would say is I believe I have the best combination of proven Democratic track record, leadership, practical experience to hit the ground running on day one, and also a commitment to fight for Democratic principles and ideals and increase the Democratic turnout and presence not only in District 137 but in Harris County.
Okay. Jamal Smith, thank you very much for talking to me today.